Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. My wonderful guest today is Rebecca Zung. She is one of the top 1% of attorneys in the nation, having been recognized by U.S. News and World Report as a best lawyer in America. She has been on TV shows. She's been on Newsweek, Dr. Drew, NRP Talk Radio, Good Day New York, CBS Los Angeles. She's an author of two books. The first is Negotiate Like You Matter, which is an acronym, and we're not going to spend time with that today, and Step-by-Step Divorce Guide. Both great, wonderful books that you'll be picking up, and we'll make sure that we have the links in here so that you can pick up those books. But most importantly is what she does so well is helps people understand how to negotiate with a narcissist and win. And so we're going to talk about that pretty extensively today. So welcome to the show, Rebecca. I'm so happy to have you here with me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
And we've had so much fun because we didn't do just green room this morning, which we did a few minutes ago, but we've also done almost an hour long phone conversation because we just fell in love with each other and said, oh my gosh, we got to talk and see what the possibilities are. So I want to just start with, you know, how did you, I mean, attorneys are a dime a dozen. We know that. And I was in a commodity world too, but how did you go from being just an attorney, and maybe you had a specialty, to being the superpower that you are now in really helping people negotiate to win against people that are so self-consumed?
Well, in a number of different ways. You know, I really believe that all of us have a purpose in life, and everything that we do leads up to that exact moment where it all kind of comes together and there you are. You know, so I didn't set out to do this. And honestly, when I tell people what I do for a living, oh, I help people negotiate with narcissists, I have to like kind of laugh a little bit. Like, and that is exactly what I dreamed of doing when I was 7 years old, playing with my dollies. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Obviously.
I'm believing you.
Well,
that's
obviously
a negotiation technique.
Obviously
right there.
Kidding. No. It just so happened that I was a divorce lawyer and I really was an entrepreneur at heart. And so I loved building the practice and I created this massive, large practice and I had many, many clients and lots of way too much work to do. And I didn't really enjoy what I call the gerbil wheel phase of it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I built the practice. I wrote the book, Breaking Free, a Step-by-Step Divorce Guide. I did some interviews around that. And I wanted to spend more time with my daughter, who's now a freshman in college. And she was just starting high school. And I was like, I got to do something else with my life. I want to be more creative. I want to do other things. And so that was sort of the first step. And I have been teaching people how to negotiate for years because as a divorce attorney and building my practice,
I
needed something to speak to people about and nobody wanted to hear a divorce attorney come in and speak. So I needed to come up with something to speak to Rotary clubs or associations or whatever. So I came up with this negotiation talk. So I've been teaching on it for years and I was even the keynote speaker for an ABA meeting and all this stuff. American Bar Association. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to write a book on negotiation, which is what I did. And Robert Shapiro came forward. He did the foreword for it. And I thought, okay, this is my path. Because I was learning about digital courses and things like that. At that same time, I came to realize that two people in my life who are making me completely miserable and causing what I call drama, trauma, and chaos into my life. Somebody who's a friend of mine, who's a psychologist, said, these people are covert narcissists. And I was like, I never even heard that term before. Right. I mean, to me, a narcissist was the big braggadocious person. These people were not that. And so I bought books on covert narcissism and I started reading about narcissism and I started learning everything I could because it was like, oh my God, very clear that that's what these people were. One was in a business setting and one is an extended family member. And so as I started learning about narcissism, I was like, oh, I could put this together. I could actually take what I've learned about negotiation, you know, what I've learned about narcissism and see if it makes any difference in the cases that I have. So, you know, I only ever practiced in high net worth, divorce, billionaires, celebrities, and, you know, there's a narcissist or two in that little world. And so I started to see movement. I actually started to figure it out because once I figured out the psychology of these people, I was able to figure out how to do it. And so I thought, you know what, let me just start doing a couple of videos on YouTube and see if anybody's interested. And my channel literally blew up. I got 100,000 subscribers and 6 million views in 10 months. And so that was where the birth of my program, Slayer Negotiation, came out of. And I don't even practice law anymore, really, because this is all I do all day long.
Right, is helping people. So I have lots of questions for you. So, you know, as people are listening to this podcast, you know, and they're saying, you know, I know the word narcissist. I think we all, in my opinion, I think we have different definitions of that, you know, and like you just said, is you have a covert narcissist, right? So this is sort of like a closet narcissist. Like they can dig from underneath. They're like burrowing up to grab you and pull you down while you're out paying attention to all the other people, right? So it kind of reminds me of like DISC profiling, where, you know, you're doing the dominating, you know, influencing, setting, and controlling, which by the way, I'm a super, super, super high I, like off the circle I.
I actually just had that done recently. And I did a whole show on my podcast with two DISC experts on that.
Yeah. Super, really super, super, super high I, like way out there high I. Want to have fun. And then I'm a C because I have, that's like a helium balloon. The I is a helium balloon. And the C is the string that holds my helium balloon down. So I want to have fun, but then my C is going, wait a minute. Right. So it's pretty interesting. So I'm wondering a couple things. One is I want you to take just a quick minute to explain what a narcissist is for people that are already on their phones going, okay, what is it exactly? The true meaning of it. And then I'd like to have you talk about how can you identify them in some words they use or some body language they have or tone. How do we identify that we are dealing with a narcissist, whether covert or not? And then we'll talk about how we're going to work against that, or shouldn't say, just work in a way to win, to ensure that they don't steamroll us.
Yeah. It's hard to see it first because they're really, really good at the beginning of any relationship, whether it's a covert, which is more underhanded and hard to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're more passive aggressive and, you know, their anger is sort of underneath. It's just underneath the surface, you know? And I loved your analogy of burrowing up from the surface and yanking down. Yeah, that is such a great analogy. I'm totally remembering that. But yeah, because they all start out with what they call the idealization phase or the love bombing phase, which is where they're actually masters at reading people. So they're really good at figuring out who they need to be or what they need to say or how they need to present themselves so that they seem absolutely perfect. Like, I need this person as my best friend. I need this person as my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my wife or husband or whatever, my business partner.
So they're a chameleon.
They're definitely chameleons.
Okay.
Definitely chameleons. And so, but the thing is, they all start off with this phase. And the first red flag is going to be that this person is very quick to want to move the relationship along as fast as possible because they're making deposits into this relationship because they want to start withdrawing and they don't really want this. They're basically grooming you to become a source of narcissistic supply for them, which is anything that feeds their
ego. Very shallow. So the faster we can move through here, the sooner they won't realize that I don't have depth.
Yes. Figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So, and then they ensconce themselves into the relationship with you. And that's when they start devaluing you and you start to see these little red flags happening and you start to see the manipulation happening. But by then you start to go, well, I've already invested this, or I've already been down this path. Yeah. I just had this conversation actually with my cousin yesterday, and he had started this project with somebody who's turning out to be a narcissist, a business partner. He's like, oh, I've already talked to all these people and I've already like started to get clients. Right. And I was like, just get out now. It's not going to get better.
Right.
You know, and it'll be harder to get out of at that point, you know? So, and then the other thing I want to mention about narcissism is it's two things. It's that they have no inner sense of value. So they have to suck it all from the external world. Mm. And they have no ability to have any sense of feeling of care or empathy for the other person. So, you know, I hear a lot sometimes on social media or whatever, where people will be like, if you say anything that's nice about yourself, you know, like I'm good at baseball or whatever, that person's a narcissist because they said something good about themselves.
Right.
That is not a narcissist.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. No, I don't think so. Because I said that today to somebody. Well, it was my team. I was having a meeting and I said, I'm so proud of myself today. Right? And I wish I could tell you what it is right now to give you a really good example. But, you know, I was saying, you guys, I'm just so proud of myself because I'm finally learning how to da 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 da. That isn't narcissism. That is an outward acknowledgement that's supporting my personal growth. For me, it is.
Well, you know, as women, I think a lot of times we feel like we're not supposed to champion ourselves, or we're not supposed to say anything good about ourselves because, you know, we're going to get accused of being conceited or boastful or, you know, narcissistic in today's world, since that word gets thrown around so often. And then what happens is we're not, you know, sticking up for ourselves, you know, I mean, and it's okay if you want to champion yourself. I mean, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's just the other side of it is, do you need to feel, you know, that you have value by, you know, devaluing, debasing, or degrading other people? Yeah.
So do you think that's where it really starts, is that, you know, it's not the personal compliment to yourself that says, you know, something, that it's more the way that you respond to others. So it's not that we don't want to look for the trigger of me, 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 I'm great, I'm whatever, but rather the trigger of someone demoralizing someone else or putting someone else down or finding flaw in what someone does is a means of a defense mechanism. Is it more of a defense mechanism?
Well, I think it's both in some ways. I think it's both in some ways. I mean, because, you know, having a sense of entitlement or, you know, magical thinking or shamelessness, those are all actual factors that they look at for the DSM-5, you know, that diagnostic and statistical manual 5 that they use, that the psychiatrists use to actually diagnose narcissism. You know, actually narcissistic personality disorder, which is an actual legitimate personality disorder. I mean, I think there's a certain, I think it's a spectrum. You know, I think that, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you've got the full-on empath person who is like super caring and feels really good about themselves and loves other people. And then, you know, it kind of just sort of almost like triangles or something, or, you know, something that goes down. And so there's certainly degrees of it. I mean, there's definitely going to be people out there who are more narcissistic than others, but maybe not necessarily have NPD.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is what I say all the time. Like, even if the person's just a jackass, like if they're super difficult to deal with, then it doesn't matter if they've actually been diagnosed with this thing or something else, you know, it's just like, what's your experience in having to deal with them?
Yeah. Well, and I can imagine that as a divorce attorney, you've had to deal with that quite a bit, or it kind of rears its ugly head, right? Whereas This was a, you know, amiable, oh, we're going to do this through mediation. We're going to be nice to each other. We promise. And all of a sudden this stuff comes up and it's not the me as much as it's, you know, so bad against the other person, you know, and that's where all the communication drops down. So tell us how this reveals itself in business as opposed to how it would reveal itself in a marital situation. Because obviously we've all experienced people who have just gone off the deep end, right? How does it reveal itself in a business situation to know when we need to cut our losses and say, no, hey, I'm not the right person for you because that's cancer for me, my team, my business, my practice.
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, I had to deal with this myself in a business setting. So unfortunately, I have many examples that I could use. In some ways, I wish I didn't but, you know, but on the other hand,
that's what makes you an expert. Yeah.
It's helped me do what I do now. And so, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? So, you know, in my particular situation, I was in a place in my life where I was starting something new and this person also was ready to start something new. And so I was sort of vulnerable to it. So I would say, be very careful if you're vulnerable, if feeling fearful about something new, if you're feeling fearful that you won't be able to handle something. And so you're looking for someone to just fill that void for you, whether it's in a business partnership or, you know, somebody to run your company or somebody who to work for you or somebody who's working for you.
A magic pill, right?
Yeah.
That person has that. It's the gap that you've been looking for. And so you put yourself in a vulnerable position because
Correct.
You are scrambling for the need of it so much.
Correct. So I would just be really careful. It's not worth it. Step back. Take a deep breath, choose what you want. You know, it'll be okay if you just choose and get there. And, you know, I had a friend who's also a coach, and she said to me, you think when you're starting something new that you need somebody, but you don't. And that was like the best advice for me. So everything I do now, I don't have a partner. You know, I have strategic alliances and relationships and I, you know,
team members and that type of thing.
Oh, totally. And then people that I do certain things with, we collaborate. All that is great, you know, but anyway, so that was one of the things. Another thing was, you know, just red flags at the beginning of the relationship where the person would say that they would do things and then they didn't come to fruition. And then you're left in a situation where it's like, are you supposed to be nagging this person? Do you just do it yourself? Do you bring it up and then they get defensive or they say they're doing it or you ask about it and they obviously just did whatever it was because you asked about it, you know, or they half-ass it, you know, and you start to feel like they're resenting you for asking them about things that they said they were going to do, you know, and like, you don't want to have to police people. And so that was one that I saw, things that don't add up.
How does that relate to someone being a narcissist, for example? I mean, some people are just not good with follow-up.
The person I was dealing with was a covert narcissist who had no sense of self, very fragile sense of self. And so there was a lot of passive aggression. Okay. And, you know, and I felt that undertone all the time, this constant like competition almost. If they seem like they're being competitive with you or they're trying to put you down in certain situations. And, you know, things are not adding up, like, you know, money situations where I saw this person, like, I knew that there was a client involved and the money didn't come into the account. And I was told that the money went into this other person's account because she didn't know how to do the bookkeeping or something, which didn't make any sense to me. And the money never ended up coming into the business account, you know, like things like that, that are
just that lack of integrity behind it. Cause as you're explaining that, I've had that situation where someone gave me, I don't know, gave me my order and I didn't know how it worked. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let me get to whatever and find out. And then I solved the problem. So yeah, from her perspective, it wasn't adding up that I might not know, but I solved it.
When a person doesn't solve it. So when the person doesn't want to solve it.
Because every time you're giving these examples, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is me. Accept this. Except that.
Well, except, you know, if you call somebody out on it, like a non-narcissistic person will say, oh my God, you're right. I'm so sorry. Let me do it right now.
Right.
And, you know, like you don't feel that sense of competition all the time. And there's like these little like digs. I mean, so narcissists attach themselves to people. And I always say this, they don't attach themselves to you because you have so little value. They attach themselves because you have so much, because they want to literally suck the value out of you. I mean, I felt like with this person that she literally wanted to be me. And I knew nothing about narcissism, nothing. Oh, I just remember feeling like, I don't mind sharing, but please don't try to like be a pod and take over my body and try to be me.
Right.
Like it was the strangest situation.
Yeah. So they're value vampires.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. The word is like energy vampire, but value vampire is good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying there now. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Yeah. That's really good. So now, you know, if you feel like you're dealing with someone who is a narcissist, do you just cut bait and run? Or do you, because obviously you're saying, hey, how to negotiate with them. So should I stay long enough? When do I know when to leave and when to stay, when to hold them and fold them, right?
That's a great song. Yeah. Well, I mean, you always should get out of it as soon as you can. As soon as you realize what's happening, you need to get out of it. But, you know, I'll see some people, every once in a while, I'll see a comment here or two on Facebook saying, oh, why are you bothering to teach them how to negotiate? Just get out, just go leave.
Right.
Well, not everybody has that option. I mean, if you're dealing with them in a business situation.
Yeah, there's money.
There's money involved or employees or value of the company, or maybe it's intellectual property that you have to deal with, or maybe it's a house, you know, in a real estate situation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a house, you know, which is oftentimes the largest asset for people. And so you can't just walk away sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So the key is going to be in creating strategy and leverage so that the person wants to come to the table and wants to have a conversation with you in a reasonable, normal person way.
Yeah. And so that leads us to your SLAY method, right? The SLAY method in how to overcome those narcissistic tendencies that they have. And you already mentioned strategy and leverage, but you also have anticipate and you. So walk us through, you know, okay, I need to have a strategy. I have no idea what that strategy should be. Should I be like them? Should I counterbalance them? What should I do? And what do you mean by leverage so that they, because you're walking towards that anticipation of how they're going to react, that you ultimately want the yes, but so talk to us about the strategy and leverage as it leads to the anticipation of their response.
Yeah. So anticipation means a couple of different things, but let me talk about, so strategy is, there's three steps to strategy that I teach people in my SLAY program, which is the diagnosis, figuring out what's going on, what kind of person I'm dealing with. And that's actually part of your anticipating too. And then your guiding policy or your vision, like in other words, where am I going? What am I doing? What everything is going to filter through that. Sometimes when people are in crisis or fire mode, they forget to actually figure out where do I want to go with all of this? I mean, it seems so obvious, but I've seen so many people who just don't even think about that. All they can think about is making the other person look bad or just survival, right?
Right.
So having a guiding vision or policy and then creating an action plan. And part of the action plan is actually figuring out what your leverage is and figuring out when you're going to use it and, you know, be super tactical about all of that. But your action plan is also much more than just creating leverage. It's also, you know, what do I need to research? Do I need to research my side? What do I need to figure out from my side? What are their arguments going to be? And how do I research it? I tell people to stand in their shoes, you know. An action plan also, this, you know, part of the strategy is, where are these negotiations going to take place? When are they going to take place? What am I going to wear? How do I, you know, create rapport? What does my body language look like? What am I, you know, there's so many things that go into strategy. So, but leverage is part of strategy.
Right.
It's part of it. And leverage is, you know, it's that part, it's that thing that you create that sort of squeezes the other person, that makes them feel more incentivized and motivated to want to have a conversation with you. Yeah. And with a narcissist, it's often creating a situation where they feel like a supply source is going to be threatened, and a supply source that means more to them to protect and maintain than the supply that they get from jerking you around, because they get supply from that too.
Yeah. So give us an example of some leverage you could give with someone who is, aside from the strategy, you've done all of that kind of work, but just so I have clear understanding of the leverage, is it a fast action item? Is when you talk about supply, you know, is it, look, you need to make the decision today or we're moving on.
It's some of that. There's definitely, that's definitely something that I think is good. But when you get to that point where you're saying you make that decision today, you got to be, there's so many hours. So, you know, when you're dealing with a narcissist, you got to think about it in terms of a long game. You know, there's very rarely going to be a smoking gun, you know, but, you know, leverage can be any kinds of things. You know, I tell people, if you're dealing with them in a case, you know, putting together a summary of lies and inconsistent statements, you know, that you're going to present to the judge or to the mediator, that's a really great source of leverage, because they won't believe you went back through every single text message and email and actually pulled them all together and matched them up and said, on this day you said this and on this day you said that. See, lie.
Right. I feel that, right? I feel that from that person's perspective of, wait a minute. So you're going to reveal my truth. You're going to reveal, you know, this deposit that I made. All of a sudden you're withdrawing all of these deposits that I made to be. I got it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really cool. And, you know, anticipating what their objections might be, or the way that they're going to respond, so that you can get yourself on your way to a yes. So there's a lot of work in this. I mean, slay sounds like a really short word, you know, let's slay them, let's kind of knock their head off. But there's a lot of work involved in that. And so I can see why people are saying, let's just back up. But what's the result when you can get through this? You know, what is in it for us who are not them in being able to overcome that? What are some of the great benefits that we get?
I mean, there's so many. And the first one is actually not even what you might think. I mean, okay, yes, you can win the negotiation and have a fair result or an outcome. So yes, that's number one. And number two is going to be that you have an agreement that actually sticks. Because even if you can force an agreement, and you know, it's going to fall apart if you don't use methodology like what I'm teaching people how to do. And now you're dealing with trying to keep the whole thing together. And
that's,
you know,
worse
and
than
that's
dealing with them in the beginning.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The biggest piece, I think, to me, all the people who've ever done my program and graduated and done the negotiation, they tell me that they feel more powerful in every aspect of their lives now. Mm-hmm. And they spot these people and they know how to deal with difficult people all the time, because we're negotiating all day long. Everything is a negotiation. Yeah. And so now they have like a different mindset. They feel more empowered. They feel stronger. They feel more courageous. That's like, you can't even put a price on that.
Right. It's priceless. So I want to shift gears on this and talk about, how do you do this with your family? How do you do it with a family member that you're constantly feeling like you're negotiating with? And you know, I know you said use different words, I think, but I think bipolar, right? Bipolar. I can't remember the words that you use, but they, you know, they're friendly one minute and then they're just like, what? Who are you? And you feel like you're walking on eggshells because you don't know who you're going to get anymore. And akin this to the fact that my daughter, when she was a teenager, you know, we called her Whitley. Her name's Whitney. But we had a Whitley name for her too, right? Like sometimes she was Whitney and she's cuddly and all this stuff. And then the next thing you turn around and we had Whitley on our hands and couldn't get her to do anything, nothing, not take out the trash, not clean her room, like, you know, nothing. We couldn't get, and we were constantly negotiating with her. And I'm not saying she's a narcissist. I'm just saying, how do you deal with this when it's family and we're not talking about pieces of paper that we're filling in blanks and it's contractual and it's going to cost us money if it doesn't go right? How do we do this from the heartfelt side?
You know, it's really hard because we have a family member that we're dealing with as well. And, you know, we've actually just kind of basically gone no contact completely, which is super sad. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, yeah. And it's certainly not at all what we wanted, but this person, they couldn't help themselves from continuing to be toxic. Yeah. The problem with narcissists is they don't know how to be anything but manipulative in the world. That is their way of being.
Yeah.
They lie about stuff they don't even need to lie about and stuff that's readily verifiable. And so it's really, really hard to deal with them because they don't know anything other than manipulating situations. And even when things aren't good for them, they continue to do that. And so, you know, I advocate for either complete boundary, like no contact whatsoever, or if you have to have contact with them, then having, you know, really, really strong boundaries as far as being brief and having, you know, saying, okay, just the facts, ma'am. That's actually one of the little memes I have in my webinar, which is just the facts, ma'am or sir. You know, you're not getting, I understand that that's how you feel and you're certainly entitled to your opinion. You know, leaving it over there on their side of the tape, like you know, the equation.
I like that.
It's leaving not coming
it
over here.
There.
Yeah, it's not coming over here. It's staying over there. And so, okay, I see that's how you feel. You know, I understand. And you're right that that's your perception, you know, and you're certainly that's, you know, everybody has their own. And so obviously that's what you think.
This is so timely for us because my husband's mother passed away and we are dealing with his brother and everything is about him. Everything is about him. And he just throws back all the time, like, you know, my husband got the whole house. He got her house and he thought he was going to get half of it. And you don't need it because you have, you know, two people in your household, yada, yada, yada. Just always saying that we don't need it. We shouldn't, we don't have. And my husband's like, you know what? I'm just going to give him everything. And I go, no, you're not. And it's not because we need it. And I keep saying the principle of the matter, but it's because you were warned, it was gifted to you. It is gifted to you. You have just as much right as him.
Yeah. I mean, in those situations, I would just say, I can see from your perception that you don't think it's fair. That must be very upsetting for you. Unfortunately, you know, mom left things the way she did, and that wasn't my choice. And I'm going to honor her wishes, you know, and leave it at that.
We were talking about this with our family, our kids, and saying, you know, my husband's just like, I feel bad. I want to give him something. Like, oh, he's suckering you in. He is suckering you in. He goes, well, maybe I'll just give him like 50,000. No.
But you know what? The thing is, here's the problem with that.
Oh my God.
Even if he gave him 50,000, even if he gave, he'd want more because it's not about that. It's about him controlling your husband and making him feel like the heat, like they enjoy that process of making people squirm. That's how they get narcissistic supply. You know, I'm making this son feel like uncomfortable and good. I'm squeezing him, you know? Yeah. So there's some other resentments that he's not good enough or that he didn't get enough or he wasn't loved enough or whatever it was.
All of it.
There's all that stuff going on. Yeah. And throwing money at that black hole is not going to close the hole. Just get it. It'll disappear into the hole and it'll still be there.
Yeah. My son said something very, very good. He said, let the will be the bad guy. Let the will be the bad guy, not you. You're not the bad guy. Let the will be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that was a switch that turned on for my husband. We were, you know, talking about it forever and ever and ever. And that switch, he's like, you're right. Right.
Well, that's what I say too. Like, and that's kind of what I was saying. Like her wishes were her wishes.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm honoring her wishes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you're upset that I'm honoring her wishes, but that's what I'm doing. And, you know,
I hope that vulnerability of my example of what's going on in my household,
people can see. Yeah.
Yeah. People can see exactly what I'm talking about. And you're able to respond to that and say, you know, this is the way to look at it. And I just wanted the validation. And it's so, isn't it funny how God brings people into your life at the time when you need them? It's
totally.
Just amazing because the fact that we're doing this recording, you know, at a time where we just had a weekend of you know what with him. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's just been crazy. And so no, I absolutely love it. So someone, you know, how do we open the door with you? If there's someone, an individual who's listening to this, you know, how do we open that door to learn more so that we can be better at our sales, better at our entrepreneurship, better at family negotiations and professional negotiations? What is the best way to open that door?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is go to winmynegotiation.com. It's just a URL that I created just for people to be able to get my Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet.
Yep.
So it's an ebook. It's free. It's like a totally really good freebie. I packed it with lots of value because I wanted people to have lots of value at winmynegotiation.com. They can definitely
and we'll have
grab
the link
that.
Here. Yep.
Yeah. And then my YouTube channel, just go to...
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to subscribe. I think I already have though.
Yeah, just if you go to YouTube and you put in negotiate with a narcissist, I'm the only one out there who's really talking about it in a meaningful way. And you'll find that my channel there. Make sure you subscribe and, you know, go live twice a week. And I do Ask the Attorney Anything sessions and I have free webinars that people can sign up for. And
there's so much value.
I give lots and lots of free content away. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing about it. If the free stuff is that good, imagine what it's like working with you directly. Right.
Yeah. So I have a program. So the Slay program is not working with me directly, but it's a 4-hour crash course that people can do on their own.
But still, it's your good stuff.
Totally. I do have some one-on-one sessions, but because I have 7 million views on YouTube and people like, it's very limited. And, you know, so I do have some, but really everything is in my Slay course. It's all there. I held nothing back.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. And that's such a smart use of your time too. It really is.
Yeah.
So I love that you do that. And of course you have the availability for them to ask you questions, you know, in your other groups and stuff. So you can have those group sort of questions. And I totally get that. I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. You know, when I was a top producer in the mortgage space, you know, I got really, really high up. Everybody kept calling and calling. They wanted to pick my brain. Well, pretty soon I was spending all this time letting everybody pick my brain free. And I wasn't doing my work, right? I was going, something's suffering here. And so that's really what started that podcast, you know, Mortgage Lending Mastery, is just bring your questions. Let me answer them. This will be how we'll do it. You're going to get me, but you're going to get there. So, you know, it's really good that you're doing that, you know, for your own sanity. And I think that's really, really important. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't even physically answer everybody's questions nowadays. Yeah,
there's absolutely no way.
We get hundreds of emails a day.
Yeah.
So I have two girls that basically that's all they do all day because I'm really committed to people getting personal responses to their emails and their inquiries and not just getting some automatic reply because of what people are dealing with. But on the other hand, like if I did that all day, I couldn't physically do it myself.
Do it. Right.
And then second of all, I definitely wouldn't be able to provide any more content because that's all I would be doing.
Right. Right. Is dealing with that. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's really cool. So I have a question I want to ask you. And that is that if I were to come visit you in California, you're out in California right now, what would we do together?
Oh, we would walk on the beach right here on the Strand. I mean, it's the best. You go walk on the beach, you go stop, have a drink, watch sunset. You know, that's what I do with all my girlfriends. We walk on the beach, we go maybe have coffee or have lunch or whatever, but the beach is my happy place.
That's awesome. And I love asking that question just to find out a little bit more about you. And that lets people know the other side of you, right? Not the part that we're sharing here. So totally. I just thank you again, Rebecca. It's been such a pleasure. And I've had so much fun just getting to know you generally. And, you know, I just wish you the best. And I don't know, well, I know exactly where you're at in California, but I'm excited to, you know, hopefully have that opportunity to meet you one day as I'm heading out there for all these events that I've got planned, you know, coming up here in the next year. You know, love that opportunity. Not because I want to go walk on the beach, just asking you that question generally. Right? But it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us your wisdom. I love the Slay. And don't forget, you know, you can go to YouTube and find Negotiate with the Narcissist. That'll be part of it. We'll have all your links here. And the gift, the beautiful gift that you have of giving us the worksheet of winmynegotiation.com. And so thank you so much for sharing time with us today. I've learned so much from this very short period of time, and that's what's important to me.
Yes.
It always is like, can I grow a little more every single day? And I've definitely grown more to have this be another little reticular activator in my activities every day. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So everybody, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. Please don't forget to give us a great 5-star rating and write a review. Write us a review. Let us know how you thought, but what you thought about this particular podcast or any ideas that you would like to see on the podcast. And we'd be happy to get the people in and go over those topics with you. So we'll catch you next time. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets. Fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.
Hi there, it's Jen Duplessis. How are you? Okay, so I know I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, but I want to make sure that we got it again. We are offering the opportunity to do live coaching with me in a panel setting as part of the podcast. So if you are interested or you have a challenge, you have a struggle that you have, you want to grow your team, but you're just not sure how to do it, or you just have some basic questions about your business, I would love to have the opportunity to coach you as part of one of our episodes of Mortgage Lending Mastery. I'm really excited for this opportunity. Now, we already have some people that have signed up, so there's a waiting list, but get yourself on the list. Get yourself on the list to have that opportunity to be a market influencer. And listen, I've mentioned this several times before. When you're vulnerable, it's attractive. When you are willing to go out and say, hey, I have a struggle and I need some help. And the bottom line is, if you want the help, then get it. It's an offer I'm making to everybody. So, but that vulnerability isn't that you don't want your real estate agents to hear about it, or you don't want your loan officers, you know, that, oh, I've got this myself and being strong. It's actually a defense mechanism and it's not attractive. What makes people attractive is when they're very vulnerable saying, I have a problem. I need help. Can you all help me? And the best part about it is when it's all said and done, you're going to get the help that you need to move your business forward. So I'm going to encourage you again to send an email to support@kineticsparkconsulting.com. And we'll have that link down here in the show notes as well. Send an email to support@kineticsparkconsulting.com and we'll get you on that waiting list and get you into a panel of no more than 3 people. I probably won't do 2 people, but I need 3, but not 4. And we'll use that time in a podcast to answer your questions and get some on-the-spot coaching. So I look forward to having that opportunity to help you out. And if you feel it's relevant for you, then get yourself on this. We're going to be doing it all year long. So I'm really excited about this opportunity and hope that you want to take advantage of it as well. So I'll talk to you soon.